Read a couple of verses in 2 Peter chapter 2. If you have a Bible and want to look at the verses with us, we've really heard some good, straight Bible preaching. You just don't hear that much anymore. But I'm glad the Lord still got a remnant that believes the truth and preaches the truth and tries to obey the truth. I think one great problem in the churches today is the home. It's probably the greatest problem is the home. And I agree with one old Kentucky mountain man over in eastern Kentucky. He had to use a rod on his daughter one time before school one morning. And she went down to the human services office and told him that her daddy... And he was pretty stirred up. Her daddy had whipped her with a hickory before she went to school. And these couple of young fellas come up to his house about 9 o'clock, and he is still kind of hot. They said, "We want to know if you whipped your daughter this morning before she went to school." He said, "Yes, and I'm fixing to whip a couple of more if they don't get out of my yard." So they left, and he hadn't seen them since. And you can't beat God's way. You can't beat God's word. He's got the instructions right there. It's up to us to obey. We'll do what the Bible says to do. Why, the Lord will do what he said he'd do. And I appreciate this good preaching. I'm not going to try to preach very long. Just a few little thoughts I might give to you. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Appreciate the privilege to be here. I'm glad the Lord made it possible for me to come. Yes, sir. And glad you're here in the meeting today. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." I want to try to talk just a few minutes on the tragedies of our time. Many, that's a sad truth there in second verse. First verse, of course, is about false prophets and damnable heresies. The sad truth is, many shall follow their pernicious ways, and because of that, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And we've lived to see a time now when about all that's evil spoken of is the way of truth. The ungodly way is the way that's promoted. The liberal way, modern way, the way that's promoted. But the way of truth, which is the Bible way, down with that way. Immediately, if you preach the truth, they say, "Well, who made you a judge? Are you judging, preacher?" I tell them, "No, I'm not judging. I'm a preaching." Amen. And we're told to preach the truth. And if we preach the truth, the way of truth is evil spoken of. Yeah. It's a tragic time. The falling away is here. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. Babel's is here. 2 Timothy 4, 4. Turn your ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. 2 Peter 2, 15 here. Forsaking the right way, gone after the way of Balaam. Yes. We live in them times, don't we? Yes, it's a sad day when folks, and perverted religion's a terrible tragedy of our time. Yes, sir. Perverted religion. Everybody now has got religion. Yes. That may be water religion, but they've got religion. Yes. It may be works religion, or it may be wafer religion. Yes. They may go through some religious mechanics, but about everybody thinks they're okay. Yes. Can't hardly find anybody that's lost. Amen. One fellow said, "Well, are we getting anybody saved?" I said, you can't get nobody lost, let alone saved. Amen. They can't get saved, they get lost. Amen. A lot of law ways. I hear sometimes folks talking about mixing up law and grace, you know. Well, salvation not by the law. The law was never given to justify. The law entered that the offense might abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yeah. Let us sin reign than death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul referring back to his lost condition in Romans 7, 9 and 10. He said, I was alive once without the law, but the commandment came. When the commandment came, he said, sin revived and I died. The commandment that was ordained unto life, he said, I found to be unto death. Oh, when that law comes to you and condemns you, and you find out what kind of failure you are by nature, and how condemned you are, and the hell you're going to, the judgment you're under, it'll make a difference in your life. When you learn that, and brother and sister, I've been saying this for years, if you ever find out you're lost, God has to let you know it. Amen. We live in a time now when we got church without Christ. We got redemption without repentance. Heaven without holiness, you know. Everybody just want to get on the bandwagon. But the Bible still says you must be born again. The Bible still says you must be made a new creature. You must pass from death unto life. I wonder if you've truly been born again. Has the grace of God made Christ real in your heart? Do you glory on in the cross of Jesus Christ? Where he went to Calvary and there, I tell you, underwent our sin, punishment, our penalty, took our wrath, took our blame, stayed upon the cross till divine justice was totally and fully satisfied. Listen, you can't have spirituality without separation. This confused charismatic crowd today that's talking about, you know, they jumping up and down and having their gimmicks, you know, and their cookouts and all that stuff and claiming they're filled with the Holy Ghost. If you don't be holy, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost make you want to be holy. Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4:7 that God's not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Amen. Holiness is an attitude, a right attitude toward God, a right attitude toward God's word, a right attitude toward sin. Actions are controlled by attitudes. When you get saved, your attitude will be right. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad almost 50 years ago, God translated me from the power of darkness and put me over in the kingdom of his dear son. Washed me from my sin. Put me as far as the east is from the west. Set my feet on a rock. Established my going. Put a new song in my mouth. No more heartbreak, heartache tunes. No more Nashville jigs. Amen. Now it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Are you washed in the blood? Praise God. When the roll's called up yonder, I'll be there. What about you?
Amen.
Perverted religion is a terrible tragedy of our time. The devil, you know, Bible tells us in Matthew 24:11, Jesus said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen, God never said, yes, nice fellows. He said, you're evil men, wicked men. Amen. He never said, you know, nowadays about everybody's nice guys. All false prophets are nice guys.
Yeah. Amen.
They wouldn't say so if a sow was eating her leg off.
That's it.
Everything positive. Ain't that about right?
Yeah.
Somebody's already said, you turn your radio and television on now, and the folks' mind is so perverted into thinking that materialism is blessing. And God just poured it out on you. Think if you're rich, you know, if you're well, if everything's going good, you know, everything's positive. They want you to think good thoughts about yourself. Well, you better see what a sinner you are.
Amen.
You better see the judgment you're under. Ain't that right?
Right?
May God help us to see that the world is flooded with false prophets.
Amen.
And flooded with perverted religion today.
Amen.
Well, religion, of course, is works, Bible, New Testament. Speaks favorable religion one time. James 1, talking about works then.
Yeah.
Pure religion, undefiled before God the Father is this. That this the Father submits in their affliction, keep himself unspotted from the world. That is good religion if you're saved, but that wouldn't save you.
That's right.
You ought to do that if you're saved by grace.
Amen.
But one fellow said, well, I think you'll live right to get to heaven. I said, hell right. He said, well, I think you know what I mean. I said, I don't know what you mean. You got to spell it out. You go to heaven believing right, then you must have to be perfect. You must be living perfect. That's where you go. Because you know a perfect God wouldn't let you into perfect heaven and you not be perfect, don't you?
Right.
So if you can produce perfection, we want to talk to you after church.
Yeah.
And if you can't, well, you don't need to be talking about living right to go to heaven.
Right.
You live right because heaven's in you.
Right.
And if heaven is in you, you still can't live as right as you'd like to. You still have to say, oh, wretched man that I am.
Yes,
You still understand that in yourself, in your own strength, you can do nothing. You have to say, well, Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. Left to ourselves, we'd be stealing cows and cars before morning. May God help us to see that the Spirit of God dwells in the inner man. God judicially crucified the old man with his deeds. Now we're to reckon him to be dead indeed unto sin and obey the Spirit of God that's in the inner man. And the Bible says, if men's are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's a general statement. Amen. When God saves you, He translates you from over here in the fleshly realm. We also ourselves are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's what we were when we was lost. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not the works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His own mercy He saved us. And here's how He done it: by the washing of regeneration. He made us alive toward God and alive toward the Bible and alive toward church, and that's why we have to go to meeting. We've been made alive to it. Fiddle said, Brother Mitchell, why won't they come back on Sunday night? I said, they don't want to. People do what they want to do. That's right. And listen, a tragic thing of our day is perverted religion, and then number two is pleasure lovers. You know why people go to the ball game? They want to go. You know why they drive hours to get to Dollywood? That's what they want to do. You know why they plan a year to go down to Myrtle Beach? They want to. You know why they won't drive 3 miles to go to church? They don't want to. They don't like it over there. That's right. People do what they want to do. If heaven's real to you, you like to be around the heavenly place. If the Spirit of God's in you, you like to be around other folks that's got the Spirit of God. If the Bible's real to you, you don't mind the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Amen. You may have to say, oh, me and amen, but you can do nothing against the truth. Praise God. And listen, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I think it's verse 4, that folks will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more. 100,000 at a ball stadium, and you can't get 100 at church. And the sad part of it is, most of them folks down at the ball stadium thinks they're saved. That's right. If you'd ask most of them, oh, I say once upon a time, I told them the other day, I said, I'm not interested in once upon a time. I wonder what you are now. Yeah. Not too long ago, Billy Coleman said, Brother Mitchell, said, you believe once saved, always saved? I said, have you been once saved? Amen. He said, well, no. I said, then don't talk about being always saved till you get once saved. Amen. Ain't that right? Did you get saved from sin? Did you get saved from the world? Did you get saved from liquor drinking and lottery ticket buying and wearing shorts and sacking up? Amen. Did you get saved, I tell you, from your cussing and dirty joke telling? Did you get saved, I tell you, from the old things you used to do and now you living for God? Did you get saved? If you got saved, you got saved from sin. And if you got saved from sin, you got saved from the love of sin, the pleasure of sin. Yeah, one man said, well, couldn't you go to the ball game? I said, I could, but I wouldn't. Yeah. Amen. I wouldn't even go if I thought there was anything wrong with it. The wrong kind of crowds down there. Right. I know people drive to Knoxville from Jamestown, 120 miles, pay $50 to get in, sit on a cold bleacher, sit up there, you know, and folks are cussing and drinking booze around them. And if they get over to church and somebody hollers, glory to God, they say, well, I don't feel anything. Well, no wonder you felt something over there. You can't have both. Ain't that right? Praise God. I'm going to tell you right now, the reason a lot of folks is quiet in church, I heard one good preacher of mine, he said, if you shouted down at the ball game, said, you ought to shout over here. I said, that's why they can't shout over here. They shout down there. You can't have both. And nowadays, folks want both. That's why we got ball games and gimmicks and bowling leagues in the church now. Amen. That's why we got all these fleshly entertainment stuff. It's perverted religion and pleasure lovers. Now, God's not against you taking some time off. God's not against you going fishing if you go at the right time. But you go out there and look for deer sign 4 hours and miss church, it's a sin. One man said, I can get so close to God upon my deer stand. I said, it's a wonder God didn't give us all a deer stand instead of a church to go to.
Amen.
Let me tell you something right now. Oh, pleasure lovers. Oh, if you cross their pleasure, boy, they're going to be forgetting to click together and trying to run you off if you preach on that pleasure. They say you got to have something for the young people. I said, we got something for the young people. We pray and sing and testify and shout and worship God. Young folks are like that if they get saved. You don't want to deceive them. Some of these salmon heads won the other day last week. I didn't go. Fella did. I wouldn't be caught there. But another fella went and told me, he said, well, he couldn't get nobody to come to altar, and said he got everybody to bow their heads and got two kids to raise their hand that they wasn't right with God. And he prayed the sinner's prayer for them, and then tried to get them to publicly announce that they are saved and get baptized. He said, what do you think about that? I said, I think the preacher's lost.
Yeah.
Don't you know a fella that's been born again knows better than that?
Yeah.
Did you know God never sends anybody to misrepresent Him? Why, our president wouldn't even send somebody to misrepresent Him. God ain't sending these seven heads out to misrepresent Him. They're false prophets. They bring in damnable heresies. They deny the Lord that bought them, Jude said. And Jude said they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness or a license to sin. That's what the word means. They say, well, we're saved by grace, but we can't quit sinning. Well, if you're saved by grace, you can quit sinning, you can quit practicing it. Because 1 John 3:6 says, whosoever abideth in Christ sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. And I didn't put that in there. The word sinneth is just like believeth. It's not a one-time deal. It's not that I believed on Christ way back in the 50s. I believed on Him then, and I still believe on Him today.
Amen.
The reason I know I believed on Him saving us then is I've been believing ever since I believed.
Amen.
Now, Christians may sin, but they don't sinneth. They don't keep on practicing sin. They can't wallow in sin. Lost people like sin and get mad at you if you fool with them. That's how I know a lot of church members is lost. They don't want you preaching about what they're doing. That's right. May God help us, pleasure lovers. And then there's powerful rebellion in these days. We've never seen such awful rebellion as we're seeing today. Oh, people, you know, the Bible said in 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Everybody know what God said about witches in the Old Testament? He didn't suffer them to live. One man told me, he said, well, I don't believe in that death penalty. I said, well, your argument's with God, not with me. God put the first man and woman He ever made and put them on the death penalty for sin. Don't you know the Bible said the wages of sin is death? I don't want to get sidetracked, but our country lost its glory when it quit acting the death penalty.
Yeah.
Our homes lost their glory when they quit acting the punishment on sin.
Yeah.
Our churches lost their glory when they quit dealing with sin.
Yeah.
We'll lose our glory if we quit dealing with sin in our own lives. Sin must be dealt with.
Amen.
And before you get saved, God will deal with your sin.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher that's dead now. I reckon he's a preacher. And he said, repentance is not for sinners, said repentance is for saints. And I thought, that fellow there, he's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, repentance is a command to everybody.
Yeah.
Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall perish.
Yeah.
Acts 17:30, that is the time of his ignorance that God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
And Acts 20:20-21, Paul said, I've kept back nothing that was popular unto you. And by the way, it's not what some preachers say, it's what they don't say that they should say.
Right.
They hold back something because of Sister Broadmouth.
Yeah.
Or somebody in the church, you know, they don't want nobody, they don't want to ruffle no feathers. Why, you listen, said, I've kept back nothing that was popular unto you, but if children taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both of the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's just what it says. Rebellion against the Word of God. Listen, when you get saved, you'll believe the Word of God.
Yeah.
And when I say the Word of God, I'm talking about the authorized KJV, not some of these other perversions.
Amen.
That's right. They call these guys conservatives that don't even read out of the right Bible today.
Amen.
May God help us. And then there's rebellion against the ways of God. The ways of God, Jeremiah 6:16, said the old paths.
Yeah.
Said they're the good way.
Yeah.
Glad way.
Amen.
Godly ways. Amen. Amen. Happy ways. Holy ways. God's ways.
Yes,
God's not going to change his mind because we're in 2006.
Amen.
If it worked back in the 40s, it works now.
Yes,
you say, well, people not like they used to be. I know it, but God's like he used to be.
Amen.
And the Bible's like it used to be.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit's like it used to be.
Right.
So if any change is done, it'll have to be down here, not over there.
Amen.
May God help us. And you know, a lot of folks rebel, as I said, against the will of God. Now, a lot of times I don't know about the will of God, but I know it's the will of God if people repent. 2 Peter 3:9.
Yeah.
God's not slack concerning his promise of the second coming, that is, as some men count slackness, but it's long suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Right.
You know, the rich man that went to hell in Luke 16, the record, did you know he said nothing about faith? He said nothing about receiving Jesus? He said nothing about believing? The only thing he used to keep people out of hell, his brothers out of hell, was repent.
Right. Right.
Yeah, he said, send Lazarus to my father's house. They can testify, I got 5 brothers, that they'll repent.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, it's easy to believe, easy to get saved. I said, they have to repent.
Yeah.
Hardest thing you ever done is repent. I can prove you can't hardly get sinners to repent. You can't even hardly get saints to repent.
Amen.
I think sinners would repent if saints would repent.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, I've not done anything. I said, it's a sin. Do nothing.
Yeah.
It's a sin. If you don't do good and don't do it, that's a sin. Some of us need to repent of what we haven't done.
Amen.
And you know, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Did you know some folks ain't going to get saved if they repent of their repentance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Their repentance was wrong. It wasn't godly sorrow. I preach the other night. I say they get stirred up about the condition they're in, the circumstances.
Right.
You know, some woman and her husband will beat her up, you know, and cuss her out and kick her out. And here she comes to the altar and wallow around about 30 minutes. They don't want to get saved from sin because they live wallow right in. Listen, they're stirred up about the circumstances.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
I don't want to get hung up there, but a lot of folks, they got stirred emotionally. About some kind of circumstance.
Right, right.
They made an emotional experience. Now repentance and faith and new birth does affect the emotions,
yeah,
but it's not an emotional experience.
Right.
In repentance, of course, the intellect's affected and the emotions is affected and the will's affected. If you just get emotionally stirred or intellectually stirred, and that's what a lot of folks have got, they've been led to decision to agree with some scriptures intellectually and made a professional, and their will's never been turned.
Amen.
That is right.
Amen.
I don't want to just get right on that and hang up there. But you know, a lot of folks, they go according to an emotional experience. And to will's not present with them to do right. It's got to be in a person to do right. That's right. Paul plainly told that. To will is present with me. I got to will it, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I got to will to do right, sometimes I have problems performing the right. Are y'all that way?
Yes, yeah.
The will's right. Ever since they got saved, they had the will to do right. My will turned. And I've thought about this a lot. I've seen a lot of folks, and these other preachers have, and they get intellectually stirred. Or emotionally stirred, or maybe both. And their will's not touched. Sometimes they receive the word with joy. Sometimes they shout. Sometimes they hug necks, and I think, boy, they got it now.
Uh-huh.
This is it.
Uh-huh.
They do good for about 3 months, some of them 6 months, some of them 12 months, some of them 10 years. As long as you can get their emotions, you got to have an emotional singing group,
yeah,
or an emotional preacher. Somebody, or you get somebody that's real smart. Their face stands in the wisdom of men. It stirs up their intellect.
Right.
You hear some of these guys on the radio and television, and they direct their message to the people's minds, intellect, not to their heart, not to their will.
Right. Amen.
And they want you to agree. That's why they say, well, if you prayed this prayer and mean it, write to me and I'll send you a book and let you know how to get started.
Yeah.
Well, if they become a believer in Jesus Christ and got saved, they already started.
Amen.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. You know, did you know that's what a proselyte was? Jesus told them Pharisees, he said, you can pass land and sea to make a proselyte. A proselyte is somebody you get to agree with you intellectually. Listen to the Campbellites, that's what they want. If they can get a Baptist to agree with them intellectually, buddy, they think they're on the throne in the third heaven. That's what said, after you make this fellow proselyte, you make him twofold the child of hell more than yourself. In other words, you're going to hell and the one you converted is going to hell too. So a lot of folks, you know, and I'm not against instructing people at the right time if they need instructing. If they want instructing. One fellow said, well, didn't Paul tell the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I said, he did after he fell down. He did after he called for a light. He did when he said, what must I do? I said, wait till he's falling down before you tell him.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? You know, a lot of people say, well, if you come up here, we'll take the Bible and show you how to get saved or show you how to rest your faith in Jesus. Now, I'm crossing the line right here. Everybody look up here.
Listen, all right.
Now, I take nothing away from the Bible, but the Bible's not the Savior.
Right.
The Bible makes known the Savior who is the living Christ.
Amen.
And our faith don't rest, that is, in the Bible. Our faith rests in the living Lord you can't see.
Right.
Faith is the certain things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
So, the Bible's the foundation of our faith. Christ is the object of our faith. Christ is the living word. The Bible is a written word.
Amen.
When you lay hold on the living word, he becomes alive to you. He makes the written word alive to you.
Amen.
And the doctrines now are not cold doctrines. They're living realities.
Amen.
When you read a promise of the Bible in there, after you get saved, you know it's your promise.
Amen.
That's right. And so may God help us. Another tragic thing is powerless preaching today. We've traded off endowment for education. Education without regeneration produces reprobation.
Yeah.
I have nothing against education. God puts no premium on ignorance. And I'm not against education. Paul was one of the most educated men of his day. I wish I had more of it. But listen, I wouldn't trade what I know for what I don't know. For if I knew what I don't know and didn't know, what I don't know wouldn't do me any good. And so I'd rather know what I know than know what I don't know. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I'm glad there's a preaching in the Holy Ghost when I got saved. Jesus said the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he said you receive power. In other words, you can't do it in yourself. You're going to learn over there at Pentecost, experimental, what you know now intellectually. That's why he said in John 12:20, I think it's 12:20 or 14:20, he said at that day, speaking of Pentecost, you shall know I'm in the Father, Father's in me, I'm in you, you're in me. In other words, you're going to know intellectually now, you know, and you're going to know experimental because the Holy Ghost is going to come and make their abode, make his abode in you and give you power to be a witness. A witness of Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, his resurrection, praise God. Paul said our gospel came not in you in word only. If word only would get the job done, give everybody a Bible and close the church house door. Word only won't get the job done. He said our gospel came in power and the Holy Ghost in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among for your sakes. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. The word of God afflicts before it gives joy.
Amen.
And they become followers of Paul. They did. Didn't have to go to no counseling session. They just jammed up with the right crowd. In the Bible, in the book of Acts, they didn't get joined to Christ and not get joined to the church. Everybody got lined up with Christ, got lined up with the church. You better watch these folks don't believe in the church. They put up, you know, such and such community or evangelistic center, a worship center, and throw the word church off and talk about full gospel. They wouldn't know the gospel if they met in the middle of the street out here. What they mean is they got the Old Testament and you all mixed up together. They don't know nothing about right and dividing. You notice that crowd? They got pantsuit wearing women preachers. They got tongue talking women. Amen. They got all kind of confused conglomeration in there. And the Bible is the book of order.
Amen.
And Paul set things in order in the church. Acts was wrote about 30 years after Pentecost, and Acts 2:41 said they that received the word gladly were baptized, the same that were added unto them, about 3,000 souls. As soon as they got converted, they lined up with the church.
Amen.
That's what it says. It's a tragedy. Powerless preaching is a tragedy. Deception is worse than dope. You know, really, and I'm against drugs and alcohol and beer joints and roadside tavern and all that, but that's not what's hurting us.
No, sir.
What's hurting the religious movement today is deception.
Amen. Yes,
deception. And it sounds good.
Amen.
It sounds good. Some folks have all truth and no spirit.
Amen.
And some folks have all spirit and no truth.
Amen.
Neither one's right.
Right.
The truth. The truth must be in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Paul said, my speech and preaching were not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Right.
Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
well, what we need, it's tragic. You know, I've thought about it. And them preachers knew in the book of Acts. And by the way, powerful preaching, of course, I screamed loud as I can. If I could scream louder, I would. But power is not how hard, loud you scream, necessarily.
Amen.
You can make all kind of noise and be an empty wagon, you know.
Amen.
I've heard preachers didn't scream as loud as me. Boy, what they said was like dynamite.
Amen.
And that's what the word means. But if you light that dynamite fuse, something's fixing to pop. Something big to blow up. Amen. You know what I think? The Word of God, when it's preached in power, it'll make you glad or mad. It'll make you shout or pout. It'll get you in a rut. You can't stay there when the Word of God is preached in the power of God. You may come a few times. First thing you know, you go away and say, I don't like it over there. I notice that they don't know much. Do you know what I'm saying? What we need is a personal Savior. Let me say this in closing. And don't forget this. Of course, y'all been doing it a long time. I just found it out a while back. General truths in themselves don't get the job done. Like John 3:16, 1 Timothy 1:15, you know, Christ died for everybody, Hebrews chapter 2, taste of death for every man. I believe that all my life. I believe that as much when it's lost to do now. I don't believe any more now than I did then. When I was coming up, some of us older ones, about everybody believed the Bible intellectually. If you told them the Bible said something, they'd say, well, if the Bible says it, it's right. Bootleggers used to believe the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. That's personal.
Yes, sir.
That's not a general truth. That's a personal truth.
Yes,
I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Yeah.
And the law said, I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me.
Right.
Not the world. Not the church as a general, but love me. You know what salvation is? You finding out that you're the sinner.
Amen.
You're the sinner.
Right.
You find out that Christ loved you.
Amen.
And Christ died for you.
Yes.
One good friend, good preacher. He said, I believe Christ had to go down to hell and stay 72 hours and suffer the rest of the penalty for sin. I said, if that was so, John 19:30 wouldn't be so. Because Jesus cried on the cross and said, it is finished. And if he had to suffer after he died and went to hell, it wouldn't have been finished there. Christ went to hell at the cross. Christ went to hell at the cross. Because hell is to be forsaken of God. And when he went into outer darkness at 12 o'clock daytime, God put a veil between Christ and the world and wouldn't let them look in. Then God put a veil between himself and Christ and he wouldn't look in. And up to that time, Christ had bare our sins in his body. The last 3 hours, his inward man was made to be sin. His soul was made an offering for sin. And when he cried like a man crying from hell, I thirst. My God, why hast thou forsaken me 3 hours? Deity suffered eternal hell in 3 hours. That delivered folks won't have to suffer hell at all.
Amen.
He did suffer. He suffered the hands of sinners. He suffered the hands of the sovereign. That's why when he cried, the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. The middle wall between Jew and Gentile broke down. Did you know if a Jew gets saved now, they have to give up their identity? That's right. That's why Jew Orthodox Jewish folks have their children's funeral if they get converted to Christianity. They totally disown them.
That's right.
You know why? In Christ, now in this dispensation, there's neither Jew nor Greek.
Right.
Neither bond nor free.
Yeah, right.
It's a spiritual organism.
Amen.
Made up of both Jew and Gentile, and your nationality don't have a thing to do with it now.
Right.
Now, salvation's of the Jews because it's a Jewish nation. Christ was a Jew naturally. But when he lived under the Jewish law and died sentenced by the leaders of a Jewish nation, while he was dying, the middle wall was broke down, the veils were running from top to bottom, and everybody now has the gospel preached to them. This is the first dispensation ever that the gospel is preached to everybody.
Yeah.
See, if you wanted to get converted under the law, you had to become a proselyte Jew. You didn't have no priest. We was foreigners native. Did you know? Can I say just another minute or two? Did you know? Gentiles were never lost sheep. Gentiles, Jews was lost sheep. That was a sheep nation. That's right. We Ephesians 2:12, we was aliens, foreigners, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Heathens, if you please. Had no high priest. But when Christ died and the middle wall broke down, heaven's blessings turned earthward when the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and the gospel is preached to you now. When you get saved now, you get made one with other folks who are saved. And there's one high priest over the house of God, and that's the reason I'm against popery.
Yeah.
Pope and all them priests, all that stuff is phony and taking whole multitudes to hell.
Amen.
There's one high priest over the house of God, and just one, his name is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's the way it is, praise God. Amen. And you know what? He can be touched with the finger by infirmities.
Yes,
for we don't know how to pray as we ought. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Makes our knees known with groanings that cannot be uttered. If you've been born of the Spirit of God, it's not necessarily what you say and how you say it. Your spirit connects.
Right.
Holy Ghost makes our needs known. We don't even know what we need.
Amen.
We don't know what we need. Holy Spirit prays for us. It's in us. Makes our knees known with groanings that cannot be uttered.
Amen.
Really, we hadn't prayed much till we get to where we can't say nothing.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I'm not against praying. I believe individual praying, group praying, standing praying, kneeling praying, secret praying, public praying, all kinds of praying. Men ought to always pray. But you and me, neither one, hadn't prayed much till we get to where we can't say anything.
Amen.
That's right. You ever see anybody? I've been there and I've seen folks. I've seen sinners. Sinners just weeping. And finally get where they can't say nothing. They're about to get in. About to get in when they can't say nothing. Did I tell you this? If I didn't, I should. So I'll tell you now that I'm through. It's old boy, he's been there from about 15 to 9. Now it's almost 11:30. I asked him, I said, you want to go home? Come back tomorrow night? Oh, no. He said, I'm afraid to go home. I don't want to go nowhere. I'm going to stay here. And he got all the way down, laid it all the way down. Couldn't say nothing. We started singing some good old scripture song. That's why he looked up, boy, and the glory of God is on him. Got to where he couldn't say nothing. Yeah. He got all the way in. And you know how you can tell? That's been about 3 or 4 years. Well, now he reads his Bible, teaches Sunday school class, dresses right, comes to church. Meeting time, he get up there and start. He was playing music in the choir before then. I looked around. He'd done laid his instrument down, got down there on the floor, stayed down. About everybody's gone, 11:30. You know, used to, way back on him, they'd stay till 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Nowadays, if Baptists can't get them up in 4 minutes, they don't know what to do with them. That's right. They don't. Well, I told him, why can't he believe? Okay. One fellow said, why can't he believe? I said, he hadn't repented yet. Just as soon as he repents, he'll believe. He can't only keep him believing if he repents. See, if you talk him in, get him in just about 5 minutes early, then you wonder what's the matter with him in a couple of years.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, what's the matter with him? Yeah, what the need to do, stay all night. It won't hurt him.
That's right.
I told his mother, she said, what do you think, Brother Mitchell? It's about 11 o'clock. I said, what do you think? I said, I think he's in good hands right now. Yeah, I said, he's in good shape right now. Couldn't get up, laying flat down. I said, he's in good shape right now. Just don't bother him.
Yeah.
Said, so can you talk to him? I said, he don't need to talk to me, he needs to talk to God. He can talk to me anytime. He can talk to me tomorrow on the phone or something. I said, he's right now getting in tune with heaven.
Amen.
That's what we need. Heaven's not real to people today. When heaven gets real, the glory of God will come back in. May God bless you. May God bless you. Good to be here, ain't it?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved. Praise God.
Come out of here. God bless you. Amen.